D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. Willie Donick will be joining us momentarily. He is stuck in traffic. We were stuck in the same traffic. If you're driving and you're within the sound of my voice, avoid Briley Parkway South near Opry Mills. There was an accident that shut down two lanes on Briley Parkway South. So if you're heading in that direction, don't go that way. Generally speaking, take it slow on a day like today, a nasty day in Nashville, Tennessee. So Willie was stuck in the same traffic that I was stuck in, but I was stuck in it first. So that's why I'm here. He'll be here momentarily. But I did get to play one of my favorite games, Derek Mason. It's called Try to Beat the ETA on Your GPS. And I beat it by 4 minutes.
Which means you are not doing what you're telling everybody else they need to be doing.
We have a show to do. There are
do what
extenuating
not
circumstances.
What I do.
Yes. Exactly. So I get it.
There are extenuating circumstances here. I have a show to do.
Absolutely.
It's not speeding if you don't get caught.
See? Now?
That's the truth.
Hey, I never speed. I drive a
Scout's Honor. Let me do the math here. I am 36 years old, 36 and a half. I have never been pulled over for speeding, and I've been a licensed driver for 20 years.
Wow. Huh? Well, that's wonderful, man. Lucky you.
Yes.
Lucky you.
So,
do-gooder.
I'm going to be pulled over as soon as I leave here.
He did get pulled over for having his phone out.
My phone.
Yeah. If I'm going to get pulled over, I don't want to get pulled over for using my phone. That's just
exactly.
Like,
be a rebel.
Exactly.
Get pulled over for speed a little bit.
Look at the guy and be like, no, and keep driving.
Oh, yeah, you're not going to pull me over.
No,
right now.
No, kids. If you have your phone, one, you shouldn't be texting and driving or anything else. But if you happen to have your phone in your hand and a cop come by, put it down, you know.
And
if he asks you to pull over, then you pull over.
I'm wondering how the cop knew, because it wasn't like I had my phone right up in my face.
Because I can tell when people are on their phone.
That's fair.
You can just.
That's fair.
And then when you get on the side of them, you say, yep, you're on your phone.
Okay.
I can tell by how people drive. And if you look ahead, how their head is, they're on their phone.
If they drift a little bit.
Yeah, they're on their phone. Or they're doing something. Let's just put it that way.
Fair enough. We have a slightly shortened program for you today. Tonight, Vanderbilt men's basketball takes on Texas Southern at Memorial Gym. A 6 p.m. tip off. I can't talk already today. And a pregame show that starts at 5:30 right here on 102.5 The Game. So we will take you up to that pregame show. For Vanderbilt men's basketball, that starts at 5:30. Nevertheless, we have a full show. Predators GM Barry Trotz will join us at 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock, not 4 o'clock, 4 o'clock. Elliot Freeman of Sportsnet will join us at 5 o'clock. So a couple of hockey heavy hitters in the second half of today's program. But I actually want to start on something I saw just a couple of hours ago, Derek Mason. You proudly wore the number 85 for the Tennessee Titans for many years. After you left, Nate Washington wore number 85 for the Tennessee Titans. And I saw Nate Washington tweet from Jim Wyatt with a video of Christian Wilkerson. That's receiver Christian Wilkerson, Jim Wyatt writes, signed to the team's practice squad on Tuesday, decked out in scout team number 22 in Titans practice. The Titans are about to play the Seahawks. Correct me if I'm wrong. If you're on scout team, you often wear the number of a player on the other side.
Yes.
Rashid Shaheed wears number 22 for the Seattle Seahawks. And Nate Washington quote tweeted it and said this, quote, it seems very minute, but when you talk culture and tradition, this is why they suffer in that department. Of course, Derrick Henry wore 22. Do you take the same umbrage with this as your fellow wide receiver who wore number 85 for the Tennessee Titans?
I get what he's saying. What we would do is you didn't wear the jersey. You just wore like this sort of apron you would put on almost that had the numbers and the color of the team you're going to play. Now, do they still use that? I'm not sure. I know, for a while the quarterbacks would wear like this red flask on, but now they're given red jerseys, so you can't touch them. So that's what they've done, I think, with in a situation like that, because usually they give you a vest that has the number on there and of the guy in the color, and you would do that. But then that's just so much work having to keep up with them. And Willie comes in here like a tornado, just
Willie's breaking everything, man.
Jeff Fisher bobblehead knockdown. Eddie George bobblehead knockdown.
He's taking out everybody, but
he's rattled. He's rattled.
They look fine. So
I know what I know. I know what Nate. I know what he means. I really do. But on in this situation, it's like, man, you just can't get around it nowadays. You know, and but he is right from this standpoint. That I'm not sure. You know, this iteration of the Titans really know much about the guys that, you know, from the past that preceded them, you know. I don't know if how much history they know about that, about those, you know, not how we went from Memphis to Nashville and what we, you know, what we had, the trailers and all this other stuff that built what they essentially are playing for now or playing because of now. I don't think they really, like, tap into that. Like, I'm sure you can walk through that building. You probably ask about, just ask 10 of them randomly. They probably wouldn't know who was on that 99 team other than probably Eddie, Steve. That's it. And it shouldn't be that way. Like, I know guys. I didn't play for the Detroit Lions, but I know a lot about the Detroit Lions because I followed that history. I know a lot about the San Diego Chargers because I was a Charger fan, so I know a lot about that old history, even the new. I know a lot about the Titans. I played for them, but I still keep up with them. Every iteration of this team, from the old to what it is now. And I'm not sure. So from that standpoint, I think he does have a point.
But what would you suggest the Titans do instead? Because, as I said, is it not common practice?
Yes, common. I don't know what they do. You know, I don't know what they should do.
It's not like they're giving him Derrick Henry's
it's not
number.
Like they're, you know, it's one of these deals where Shaheed wears 22. So, okay, listen, you are the guy that resembles him most, you know, by stature, speed, whatever, movement. So we're going to throw the 22 on you and go from there. You know, outside of that, I know where Nate is coming from. I don't have a big problem with it, but I understand what he's saying. But in this situation, I don't have a problem with it. It's, what else are they going to do? I mean, wear 23, but Shaheed isn't 23, so you got to wear 22.
Hi, Willie.
Hello, guys.
Hey, Willie came in like a freight train, a bull in a china shop.
I don't know. I was trying to.
Trying to come in softly?
No, I. Well, yeah, I don't know what my interest was not good. My interest was not good.
It was
good.
Not smooth.
Not smooth at all.
Quite
like
unsmooth.
You like you in middle school trying to talk to that girl and all of a sudden you start tripping and everything else.
Oh, I did that. I did that a few times. I tried to do the double back. I tried to go. I was requested by Adam to go a different route. I was in a pickle because I was behind you on the same route coming from the Y. At the normal time. So we'll never know if I would have made it. I think I would have made it on time if I had just gone the way I normally went. Because it ended up being a lot worse going the other way.
Well, you're here.
I never got out of the neighborhood.
Did you put in Waze? Waze to tell you where to go?
Yeah, but it changed quick because the whatever traffic issue you had cleared up, I think, right, Adam?
It cleared up more quickly than I anticipated. As I said, one of my favorite games to play is beat the ETA on your GPS, which I did by roughly 4 minutes.
It's a fun
so
game.
So you were going to take
today.
The route that he was on.
Right, which
but,
is way closer.
Yes,
from
but,
now, if I go from my house, it's probably equidistant going. There's two different ways to go.
So you took the alternative, which he said take.
He said, don't go my way. Don't go the way that.
He said, go the other way.
Don't go Bradley because there's a wreck.
Go the other way.
Went the other way, and it was even worse.
Sorry about that.
Sorry. So that's
Just take it slow out there, people.
You two have more traffic issues.
I'll tell you what's happening.
Stories we can tell.
It's the hazard of living on the east side of town.
The east side east of town nasty. Is now officially in the traffic thing. It used to be like the great secret.
Oh,
like
man.
There's no traffic on the east side. It's the best place to live. You're right near downtown. Nobody's.
Everybody else figured that
not
out.
Not anymore.
Too. Nope. Mm-hmm.
The secret's out.
Wasn't a great secret.
I used to get this look all the time when we first moved there. Oh, you live on the east side?
Yeah. Huh? Now it's the hip place
like,
to
oh,
be.
It's what's it like over there?
It's foreign.
I'm like, don't worry about it, man. It's great.
They speak another language.
Like, oh, you know, there's that's like it's an older place. You know, there's a lot of it. It's like, yeah, yeah.
It's a different country. It's, good, it's a different country, yeah. Man.
Now, everybody's over there now. It's like the great
don't
Yogi
let
Berra
anybody
once said,
live over there.
Yeah.
Hey, that's where the hipsters are moving.
The great Yogi Berra once said, nobody goes to that restaurant anymore. It's too crowded. That's the east side now. Everybody went over there. The secret's out.
Oh, man.
Let's keep it on wide receivers.
Okay.
I have a question as the Titans prepare to take on the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday. Has a fan base ever loved a practice squad player more than Titans fans love Xavier Restrepo? I would love to know. And I understand, look, Calvin Ridley's out for the season. Tyler Lockett, he gone. Mm-hmm. Alec Iomanner did not practice yesterday or today with a hamstring injury. Chim Dike practiced in full, I believe, both days, so he should be fine. Mm-hmm. But the Titans' available wide receivers for Sunday against Seattle, Van Jefferson, Chim Dike, presumably, Mason Kinsey, and James Proche. So why the hell not give Xavier Restrepo a shot? That's what a lot of people are asking. We've seen it plenty of times on the text line. Catch the strep. I would prefer not to catch the strep. But I just want to know, has a fan base ever loved a practice squad player more than Titans fans apparently love Xavier Restrepo?
I have a take on this.
Please.
I don't believe it's true love.
What kind of love is it?
I think it's just a game on the internet. I think it's a game on the internet. I think this is what people do.
They're being catfished?
No, it's not catfished. It's just to pass the time.
Oh.
They have nothing better to do. It's just a fun, hey, let's get our friends and let's see if we can all do something. Oh, this would be fun to have Restrepo. It's not true love.
They love the thought of having Restrepo, but they don't love to have Restrepo for the
reasons. It's nothing to do with Restrepo the person. Mm-hmm. It's not like all of these people are talent evaluators and they really know anything. It's just a fun game. And I will give you an example of another game that happens. Okay? Adam's familiar with this game. There's always a guy on a hockey team who's just the guy. And he's not treated like a real person. It's just a game that people play. Oh, they're playing so-and-so in the lineup again. What are the chances he scores? They're sitting out so-and-so. They have to play so-and-so. Like it just becomes a thing that happens. And that's what's happened here. People fell in love with an idea way back in the spring when there was no football to watch or anything. And so they've been on this game. And now we have to play the game out, right? Now we might actually see the guy in the game. So now we really have to see the end of the game, right? We have to
got
to
play it out.
I'll give you a specific one. Remember, Cole Smith, for a long time, didn't score a goal in a game. That became just a game. And I didn't understand, right? I was watching Cole Smith, the player. I'm around my unique perspective. I'm around Cole Smith, the person. I know him. I met his parents. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a real person. Right?
Not some trinket.
These aren't just pieces on a phone or, you know, pieces on a game board or just for our entertainment. But that's kind of what happens with social media and fandom. I get it, right? It's just part of it. Not everybody knows Cole Smith. Like, I know. But it's like, it became like a thing, like, oh my God, they're playing him again. And it's been how many? Like, you could sit there and explain to those same people, here's why Cole Smith is playing. Here's what he's good at. Mm-hmm. This is what he does well. Not everybody on the team is going to score a lot of goals. He does need to score some goals eventually, and he did eventually. And I thought the internet was going to break when he finally scored a goal. Do you remember this date, Adam?
Vaguely.
I'm sure it was a memorable day, and you didn't play this game. You were not in this game, I don't think.
But. No, I don't know if I was in the Colts.
I'm not sure what they did that day when he actually scored a goal, but it was a big thing.
There's definitely a party.
And he's actually scored a few goals since then, and he's become, I think he's won the fan base over a little bit since then in the last 3 years or so since this phenomenon started. But that's an example of, I think what we're seeing was Restrepo. Am I wrong? I don't think it's true love, Adam. It's not true love.
I was going to put
they
it
don't
as
love
a,
him, the person.
I was going to
they
put
don't it, love him. They just think it's a game.
I was going to put him as the frat kid who makes it on the basketball team as the walk-on. And then, like, when they're up right. big.
Right. Like, you put him in.
Put him in.
Right. Then
put
he's got to shoot it. In.
Shoot it.
And then
shoot
he shoots it. It, but he misses by a mile. But he's in. He's in. He's there.
No, but it
was
kid,
it. It was happy.
But if he ever hits one, though.
Oh, no. Yeah. The place where
the place goes crazy.
I remember. Listen, I am not getting into that, okay? I'm not.
Derek, is it true
you
love?
You know it's true. DMX,
yes
you know
or no?
True.
Is it true love? Willie says no.
It's not true love.
You remember the frat kid that joined the football team as a walk-on.
It's a situationship. It's a situationship.
Okay, here's the thing. One, I just think I find it just – I just find it – I'm flabbergasted that people – like, what is it about – like, why did they latch on? I think it's the name. If you look, when I look at
I
the
think
name,
you're right.
I think
if
of
his
a,
name was Jim Smith.
They wouldn't care, yeah. But his name is Xavier. You think he's a superhero? Like, if you put Restrepo out there, he could do anything. Right. Like,
dude, he has a cool nickname, X, man.
He can do any, like, he can do reverses. He can do long passes. He can catch any pass because his name is Xavier Restrepo. Let's see what he can do. He did it for Cam in Miami. He was his everything. We can get that here in Nashville. Put it, he reminds me of an X-Man. Xavier Restrepo. That's the young guy. Put him in. He can do it. Look at him. His arms stretch an extra 3 feet. He can catch anything. They're like, hey, listen, we tried all of these other guys y'all threw at us. Why not try the guy that was a part of, you know, your quarterback success at Miami. So I get that part. But obviously there's a reason they haven't elevated. He's probably just not ready. In what form or fashion, I don't know. Maybe it's the playbook. Maybe they don't think he's physically ready. I don't know what it is. But in a situation like this, you would think that, okay, what is it going to take for this young man to hit the field? Because you don't even have to put him in as your – you don't even have to be playing, really. Just activate him. He can play special teams. And that may be the problem. And that's what people don't understand. The special teams portion of that may be the problem. Because if you are my fourth, fifth, and even my third wide receiver, you must play special teams. And maybe that is the problem why they don't elevate him.
If we went to Broadway – remember the Titans several years ago? They did their schedule release where they asked random people to right. name the logos. It was well done. If we went to Broadway and said, Xavier Restrepo, football player or character portrayed by Antonio Banderas, how many people would say football player?
Not me.
It would be a split. I'm going to say it's about a 50. I'd say football player wins 55-45.
Okay. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Has a fan base ever loved a practice squad player more than Titans fans apparently love Xavier Restrepo? Willie is not buying it. He thinks it's fake. He thinks the love is all fake. 615-737-1025. We'll get into that, and we'll talk actually more important things that relate to the Titans. Chase and Big Joe will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circus Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall this Monday prior to the Monday night football game. The matchup, Panthers against 49ers.
Feel like you, this might be the week we see your buddy Restrepo?
I mean, we're going to see, man. I mean, I know A7 going to be ready. I got chemistry with him, so, you know, if he get a shot this week, you know, I make sure you know, he'll know what to do. And if he get the ball, he's going to show y'all what he can do. To get a taste.
That was Cam Ward on his buddy Xavier Restrepo. Could we see Xavier Restrepo this week?
I'm going to tell you what that sound like.
What's that?
That sounds like when you and your buddies are together and one of your buddies asks, hey, man, can you go out? And your other buddy look like, nah, man. Or, yeah, knowing good and well, your wife ain't letting you go out. Like, I'm answering like, I hope so, but knowing good and well, it ain't going to happen. So you got to sort of like save face, like, yeah, I hope so, but I know if I can, you know, y'all just be ready because I'm going to be out. Nah. Mrs. like, nah, you ain't going nowhere. And Cam knows that. He's like, man, I make sure he's ready, but I'm not, I don't think he's going to see himself, you know, on the active squad no time soon.
Some of your reaction on our text line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, 615-737-1025. One texter says, it's because we have nothing else to hold on to. We really already know everything else sucks, so we hold on to hope that he doesn't, meaning Restrepo, because of what he has done with Cam already. Another texter says, Xavier Restrepo helped make Cam Ward the player he was, and he's one of the University of Miami's leading receivers. We know he can catch, which has been kind of an issue for the Titans. Give him a chance. What's the worst that can happen? That should be the tagline for the 2025 Tennessee Titans. What's the worst that can happen?
I think that's a good point. I like the first point. Mm-hmm. I think the first point is the point. There's really nothing else to amuse us when it comes to it. It's not been an exciting set of Sundays watching these guys, and so people want to be entertained. That's why the love isn't real.
Here's what's going to happen.
They just would want something fun.
This would be the funniest outcome. Xavier Restrepo gets called up to the active roster.
Don't pull a Rudy.
I'm not doing that. Rudy was offside. We discussed this yesterday. No, Van Jefferson is not going to walk into Mike McCoy's office and say, let Xavier play today. I'm out. He's not going to do that. But here's what this would be the funniest outcome. Xavier Restrepo on his first target in a meaningful NFL game scores a big touchdown. Then somebody is going to set that highlight to My Heart Will Go On by Celine Dion. And that will just play over and over and over again. That's
every
what's going to happen.
It's part of the game. It's part of the game that you play.
But I think a lot of it is, all jokes aside, a lot of it is because I believe that he doesn't have a place on a special teams unit. So that's why they haven't, you know, activated him to the active roster. So and that's okay. You know, that's why, you know, guys are sent there, is to develop in whatever area they need to develop in. And he needs to develop as a wide receiver, but the quickest way to find yourself on a active roster is through special teams. And I'm not sure that he fits what they want to do from a special teams unit. Because I'm not going to put it on his play. I think the kid has done enough and showed enough that, you know, at least see what he can do out there. He's not going to do any worse. You know, if he drop a ball, then so be it. Pull him out. It don't matter. If drop two, pull him out. He can't play. He's not ready. But I think a lot of it has to do with the special teams aspect of it. Because, again, if you're not the top two wide receivers in today's football, that even that third wide receiver, you got to have some value on a special teams unit. And right now it just seems like he doesn't have value to the special teams unit.
Let's talk about something more meaningful relating to the Tennessee Titans. This is a question we've been meaning to get to. Has the post-Brian Callahan era, which is short, about a month and a half, month-ish, has the post-Brian Callahan era shed any light on what kind of coach the Titans should hire? Based on what we've seen since the Titans made their coaching change, have your thoughts on what kind of coach the Titans should hire changed at all?
No, not necessarily, for me at least. I do, just looking at this team and the lack of leadership, and when I say lack, I mean they don't have enough leadership in that locker room. I just think they and then you just start to look, you know, from afar, you know, things that, you know, goes on or whatnot. It's like they need a coach that's going to come in there and, you know, would have had to accomplish something. A guy that comes in with a pedigree, a guy that understands, again, winning, losing, building, developing, but also a stern, whether you're Jeffrey Simmons or the last guy on the roster. There's a standard that's going to be set. And no matter who you are, if you don't go along with those standards, then your time here may end up being shorter than what you think. Not that I'm going to throw you out or something on the first offense, but there's a standard that we're going to set. And I'm just telling you from what I experience as an NFL player, whether it was Jeff Fisher or it's John Harbaugh, they came in, we all understood, and we all knew what the mission was. We all knew what the standard was. And when you deviated from that standard, yeah, you get it. But after that, I've seen guys run out, cut, all this other stuff because they didn't uphold or they didn't meet the standard that was set. So first and foremost, that's what they need in that locker room, like a head coach that's going to demand respect. Like there's no – this is now my team, and we're going to make it ours as we continue to go on. But right now there's some things that need to change in this building and change right now. That's where Mike Vrabel – that's how he became so loved in that locker room by those players because they respected him. Now, it wore off on people when he started losing – it sort of wore off on the people outside the building and maybe inside the building too. But there was a standard that he set right away. And he was a player's coach, but there was a standard that he set. And he expected everybody to achieve that standard of play. And if you didn't, like, you weren't going to be one of his favorite guys. Or you were not going to be one of his guys, let's just say that.
This is what I thought of with this topic, because – you've got Mike Borgonzi, and I guess to some degree, Chad Brinker. I don't know how much they're really working in cahoots. Are they working separately? Are they meeting some? I don't know what the dynamic is exactly. It's a newer relationship. But I think what I would be studying is, all right, what are we learning about Cam Ward week in and week out? Where is he thriving? You provided some numbers yesterday, Adam, of the formations, which we were on early. Dan Orlovsky was on it. After about 3 or 4 weeks, the trend became pretty apparent. A lot of shotgun, not a lot of multiple tight end sets early. It's evolved some. But Dan Orlovsky was really buying into, let's make this guy a complete quarterback. We need to make sure this guy can run from underneath center. So in the weeks since they've moved on from Brian Callahan, one of the things... I would say 75% of that press conference when they fired Callahan had to do with the offense, mm-hmm. not the defense. They basically said, our offense is terrible. And we think Mike McCoy at the helm, we will see better things. And really, they haven't. It's been about the same.
Mike McCoy gives off major substitute teacher energy.
He is the substitute teacher right now.
Sure, but it's like...
not the fun kind of sub,
right?
You're saying. Sometimes you got the fun sub,
yep.
The assistant football coach.
Yes.
He's going to pop in a film. And we're good, man. Hey, study. You got some studying for another class? I'm going to put this film in when it's over. Just study for the other class. And we're like, that's a good sub right there.
Mike McCoy is the substitute teacher who says, I'm getting paid whether you learn or not. And that's the vibe I get from him. Those numbers you were referencing, Willie, Josh Norris, who is the director of content and fantasy lead at Underdog, tweeted this out the other day. Quote, the Titans are in 11 personnel 78% of the time. First in the NFL.
Right. It's been like that since week one. So nothing has changed under McCoy.
While using shifts in motion at the second lowest rate.
Now that's interesting.
And are under center just 25% of the time. That's 24th in the league. While being number one in 3-by-1 sets. Rookie quarterback, always trailing, play caller gone, all valid reasons. But the pre-snap stuff is all very vanilla. compared to the legit post-snap responsibility Cam Ward has had in his first year.
Okay, so all that data is in. Mike Borgonzi is very well aware of that data. Mm-hmm. So what's in his mind? Do I need to have a coach that is going to run an offense that has that? Or am I going to... I presume that those formations are what Cam Ward is most comfortable in. Can we assume that based on his college? Mm-hmm. I would have to think that a lot of it is like that. That's certainly what Callahan was saying. But am I going a completely different route, knowing the history of when you change coordinators, change terminology, change philosophies, disaster happens more often than not? Or do I need to be looking for a coach that's going to fall in line with those numbers?
I think if you're trying to develop your quarterback and you're looking at, you know, things that he does well, things that he doesn't do well, you have your offense and you try to, you know, taper that around what your quarterback strengths are and try to stay away from the things that he's shown weakness, or at least until he can develop. I think right now you're in that phase of evaluating what this quarterback is, what his ceiling is, what type of offense. So they need to be doing more, multiple sets and shifts and motions and three tight ends and underneath center and out of center, because you got to try to figure out what is he good at. And once you figure that out, I think then you try to match the coach to that philosophy, but then that coach can also enhance it and expand, you know, his ability to play, not just from this sort of, you know, box in a sense, but we're going to start in the box, but we're going to expand him outside the box eventually. So that's what type of coach, at least, you know, or system you need to mirror up, and you need to be doing that now as you're evaluating your quarterback.
615-737-1025. Has the post-Brian Callahan era shed any light on what kind of coach the Titans should hire? Has it changed for you since the Titans fired Brian Callahan? 615-737-1025. If you are looking for a great spot to pregame before the Titans game at Nissan Stadium this Sunday, stop by John Bon Jovi's and pregame with 1025 The Game. JBJ's has the best food on Broadway, cold beer and cocktails, and stunning skyline views, including two epic rooftops. Pregame show is brought to you by Tennessee Brew Works and Old National Bank, and we are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. We are presented by Bax Homeworks. Financing options are available to make your remodel easier than you think with Bax Homeworks. Get a free estimate now at baxhomeworks.com. Predators general manager Barry Trotz will join us at the top of the hour, 4 o'clock. We haven't talked to Barry in a couple of weeks, so looking forward to catching up with Barry Trotz in roughly 20 minutes. But the question we were bandying about, I guess you could say, before the break, has the post-Brian Callahan era shed any light on what kind of coach the Titans should hire? One texter on our text line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, says, "We need Eddie George. I know it sounds homerish, but I believe he's the guy to set the new standard of what it means to be a Titan. Just get him real professional coordinators." As much as Derek Mason loves Eddie George, mm-hmm. Derek Mason, what was your one non-negotiable?
College coach.
No college coaches. Mm-mm. Even college coaches with previous NFL experience. Mm-mm. No college coaches. Mm-mm. So Derek is unfortunately out on his friend Eddie.
Yeah. Love Eddie. But in this situation right here, I wouldn't want – ain't no way in hell I would want this to be his first job under this circumstance. He would probably take it on, and, you know, you just never know. But, man, oh, man, whew. If you want to see your likability go down quick, become a head coach on a bad team.
Mm. There have been a great long list of people who returned to where they had fame as a player.
Mm-hmm. Or coach.
Or coach. But, you know, come back to your alma mater, mm-hmm. only to just be vilified
exactly.
at some point.
So I wouldn't want – this team has to be ready to go. And then you would think about a guy like Eddie. But heck no.
Mm-mm. Jeremy Fowler of ESPN.com earlier this week reported, well, first he asked the question, who is the hottest name on the head coaching market right now? And he reported, The group of formers, in quotes, coordinators with head coaching experience will be a factor. Defensively, he mentions Vance Joseph, who's in Denver right now, Robert Saleh, the ex-Jets coach, who's now the defensive coordinator in San Francisco, and Brian Flores, who's the defensive coordinator in Minnesota. Offensively, he mentions Matt Nagy, who has connections in Tennessee, Mike McCarthy, Cliff Kingsbury, and Arthur Smith, who, of course, also has connections in Tennessee.
I am not, for the record, saying that it's got to be, a quote, an offensive guy. Are we in agreement there?
Yeah. It doesn't have
to be. It does not have to be.
Even though Cam Ward, it's all riding on Cam Ward, I'm fine with any type of head coach who is a good head coach, because I think the number one thing, as we said before, is you've got to be able to lead this group out of the wilderness, starting with nothing but wood and, you know, some Boy Scout, you know, tools to start a fire. You know, you have the basics.
Boy Scout kit here. You
well,
got
we have the basics. The magnifying glass so you can get the sunlight through to get the...
We've mentioned
which I never learned.
We've mentioned the Oregon Trail on the show many times before. I think we were talking yes, about it frontier. With the quarterbacks. Yes, the Titans are... I loved Oregon Trail when I was younger. And the Titans are that family that has died of dysentery. All of them, just dead of dysentery from drinking, you know, disgusting water. The oxen have drowned in the river. Like, this is where the Titans are. Yes. Some, they would say,
there's
you want
flies around, there's bones, and, you know, it's a sad scene.
Right. You know, they were like, hey, do you want to try to cross the river? It might be deep. I'm like, let's go for it. Like, you lost one son and two oxen. And that's where the Tennessee Titans are right now.
Right.
They've lost the oxen. Their family is sick and or dying of dysentery. It's bad out there. You've got no money.
You need a leader.
Yes. Well, the extreme example, and this is a sore subject for some Titans fans, what's happening in New England right now. Mike Vrabel isn't an offensive coach, but we know he is a leader of men, and he's got a veteran offensive coach in Josh McDaniels who's helping the young quarterback play at an MVP level. So I am not married to the idea either, Willie, that the next Titans coach has to be an offensive guru. By the way, we did this a couple of weeks ago.
But I do think it's important, just meshing it with what we did in the last one.
Yes.
Was does the offensive person you bring in, if it's a coordinator and not the head coach, does it need to line up with what they're doing now to some degree? So you're not throwing a completely different language. For example, you know, he's speaking Russian now, and now you're going to speak Japanese or something, right? A completely different set. Mm-hmm. I wonder what that would do for Cam Ward. That has to be at least considered, right?
Yeah, it has to be, because what it does is
Along with the oxen.
It pushes the progression back, because you're trying to develop a young man, you know, in one system with guys that are going to also develop within that system. And that's what they were trying to do this year. That's what they are still trying to do. So you do that, and then all of a sudden now the season goes through, and now you bring in another coach, and this coach changes the offense totally. Now, it can happen. I'm not saying that it doesn't happen. But, you know, the effects of that is, yes, now you set your quarterback back. It's not a bad thing, but now he has to learn a whole new offense over again. And now some of those things that – there may be a few things that are applicable to this offense and as far as mechanics and stuff, but then – man, I learned a lot of this, but now you got to sort of shift it. So you want to try to get someone, and listen, it doesn't have to be an offensive guru to me. Doesn't have to be a guy that's strictly, you know, a defensive coach. No, I don't care. As long as he understands the task that he's about to take, and that he's a leader of men, and he's get this program back to where I know it can and should be. But then after that, hopefully he hires, after evaluating the team, hopefully he hires somebody that aligns more with the things that the quarterback does well, accentuate those things, and then work on those things that he isn't doing so well so you could develop him even more.
One texter says, wait. You are way too young to know about Oregon Trail. I am an old soul. I played Oregon Trail in elementary school in the mid-90s. I did. during computer class.
You'll never forget those oxen.
I won't. Here's the other thing I won't forget about computer class. They tried to teach you how to type with all of your fingers, you know, without looking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when the teacher, they would put a piece of paper over your hand and tape it to the keyboard so you wouldn't look. And, oh, I would look. When the teacher turned around, I'd lift up the paper. Adam, how are you typing so well and so fast? I don't know. Can I play Oregon Trail
see,
now?
See, y'all learn how to do that on a computer. What do we learn how to do that on? Typewriter.
On the stone, on the stone tablet.
I did take typing. I did take typing.
Exactly. So that's how you had to learn. We had to type it, man. Don't come at me with this computer stuff. No, we had to type it out.
That's right. White out.
Exactly. You know nothing
change
about
the ribbon.
That.
You have to change the ribbon.
Exactly. I am very familiar with whiteout.
Not the way we had to use it.
Maybe not. Chris on our text line says, "Why would you keep this offense? It sucks."
It's
see
not
now
the,
that's
see,
the dilemma. That's
but
the
it's
dilemma.
Not the off. I don't think it's the scheme that because everybody.
Right.
It's not like the Titans are running something that other teams aren't running. They all are running. There's half of them that is running this, another half, a third running this, another third running this, another. They all are running sort of a version of the same thing in a sense. So it's not like this offense, the scheme sucks. It just, they don't have enough players.
Here's something interesting via Sumer Sports. The Titans have run 11 personnel 76.4% of the time, which not only leads the NFL, that specific personnel grouping, that specific rate, is the highest of any personnel grouping or rate in the NFL, period. So the Titans run 11 personnel more than any other team runs anything else in the NFL.
And I think the downside of that, I think, okay, the upside would be Cam Ward on every snap should know mm-hmm. everything about that personnel. They run it so much, that's the bread and butter. Mm-hmm. The downside, of course, is the defense, the tendencies, I would think, are it's predictable. You see what they're going to do, and you're not expecting to get surprised. And so I think it would help to add layers mm-hmm. to it over time,
but
right?
Yes. But what were we talking about the week of the Rams game? And I say I watch Rams games, and I watch Titans games. And it seems like, when I'm watching the Rams, everything seems clean, crisp, movements, boom, boom, boom. Guys, you know, they're doing three or four movements, confusing. But you know what? The Titans are doing, they all are running the same plays, but the Rams have figured out a way to do it in such a way that you don't know what we're doing because we got so much movement in our game that you don't know, you can't pick up on tendencies, or it's hard to pick up on tendencies because we're doing so much movement with different guys. We can be running a three tight end set, different movement, but the same play as if we're running three,
right.
You know, 11
personnel.
It's not
personnel.
Like
it can't work. It may, from afar, sound like, oh, why would you do that? It's so easy. But there is something to be said for mm-hmm. keeping it simple, mm-hmm. but doing it really, really well, understanding it, right? Mm-hmm. The Cowboys with Emmitt Smith and Troy Aikman, I used to hear that a lot, mm-hmm. that they really didn't run that many plays. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew what they were going to run. They just ran it so well with really good players.
But it's not. But it's not even
the detail was there.
But it's not even it's you figure out because I New England they all were good at this. Whether it was New England, whether it was Indianapolis, and those are the two teams that we faced a lot. A lot of their stuff would be the same. Simple. It's not the play. It's the movement within the play. That's what confuses defense. That's why I think our defenses, when we played them, were so good because it was they knew, like, okay, play. But we got to watch this stuff and study it enough that we know it's just a bunch of movements, but it's just the same play. But there is just different people, but it's the same 3-by-1. They're going to do this. They need to expand. Everything can be – you can run basic plays. But if you have the creative formations and motions, that's what trips individuals up. Because that's why you see defensive backs back there like, that's why you got to communicate. Because, yeah, it's going to be a slant, slant. You know it's going to be a slant, slant. But they're doing so much movement, now that throws you off. So you got to be creative within the movement. The play is simple. It's the movement within the play that is not simple that you got to sort of figure out as the defensive player.
You're saying the Titans aren't doing that because they're not moving guys
they're
around.
They're not doing that.
Is that easier for the defense to
– It's easier for the defense, yes. Yeah. It's even, and now that they're down to, what, 4 wide receivers, they got to activate more. So it restricts what they can do from an offensive standpoint as far as movement because now we got a bunch of new guys in here.
615-737-1025 will take your thoughts on the Tennessee Titans, the coaching search, whatever you
Oxen.
Like. Oxen. Any
dysentery.
Typewriters. Wide out.
Yeah.
We've run the gamut here in the first hour. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, Predators General Manager Barry Trotz will join us. I know a lot of you have questions that you want answered, and we will ask those questions of Barry Trotz. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. The Commodores will take on Kentucky this Saturday at First Bank Stadium. Pregame begins at 1 on 102.5 The Game and 94.9 The Fan with the kickoff at 2:30. Vanderbilt football brought to you by Gary Force Acura, Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse, and Smoky Mountain Top.